What a beautiful sound to hear all the laughter and the chatting. As we come together with our church family, there's nothing greater. But if you'll come into the sanctuary and join me, we want to have a little time of prayer before we continue on in our second service. So if you would please stand with me. As we go into prayer, I'm delighted to share with you a wonderful praise report. On Friday, I had the privilege to go with the doctor visit with Sister Pam Carpenter. And the doctor said, not only is she in remission, her myeloma is in deep remission. So we celebrate that, and we thank God for what he's doing in her body. And she wants to thank all of you here for your love, your support, for the cards, the encouragement, the prayer. It means so much to have everybody come together. And when our faith is weak and others can hang on for us and carry us through, that's what being a part of this beautiful family is all about. And I know there are many needs here this morning. I don't have all of them up here, and the greatest thing about that is I don't need to know, but he already knows. And if you want to reach over and pray with someone next to you and share a need, by all means do that. And just come together this morning and let's just talk to Jesus before we continue on in our service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are here. We thank you that we don't just have to come here to find you, but you are everywhere. Your spirit is always working. But God, today I am really thankful that we can come together as a church body where people who love you and are looking for you are. And God, I pray, Lord, this morning that you would continue to meet with us. We thank you for what you've already begun to do in our Sunday morning teaching hour. And God, we thank you for this service time where we can come together. And God, we give you a great big thank you for what you're doing in Sister Pam's body. And we pray, God, that you would continue to do that and continue to heal her and strengthen her. God, we thank you that Brother Hawk is here worshiping with us this morning. We thank you for the good report that we are hearing on his account as well, Father. And God, I pray that you would continue to minister and to move in every heart, in every mind, in every situation. God, I speak life and I speak your spirit into the hearts of your people this morning. And I pray, God, that you would be God in everything and help us to yield to you, to be sensitive to you. And God, that you would just have your way. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Praise God. You may be seated. We are so excited that you are here worshiping with us this morning. I see a few faces that I don't recognize, and we're glad that you are here. And we are also glad for those of you who are joining us online. We'd love to connect with you. There is a bit.ly link that you can click on and get in contact with us so we can get to know you as well. Praise God. God. Mother's Memorial. Thank God for Mother's Memorial. Thank God for Ladies Ministries, and thank God for you as you give. Calvary Gospel Church has been a very strong supporter of Mother's Memorial for many, many years, and along with that, one of our heartbeats here has been to see these Bible school students, and we can sponsor those here. We are in a Mother's Memorial drive that we'll be wrapping up next week already, so it goes pretty quick. But for just $200, you can support one of those foreign missions Bible school students. And the most beautiful thing about them is there's no deputation. There's no partners in missions. They commit, they go, they study, they learn God's word, they hide it in their heart, and they go back home and they share it right there in their field, right there with their people and their culture, and they don't have to learn, but they can take the Jesus culture that's shared with them in Bible school. So as you support Mother's Memorial, I say thank you. on their behalf. And I also say thank you on behalf of the Wisconsin District for being a supporter of Mothers Memorial. And we do have ways that you can give. You can give online. You can go to our website. There's a link there that will help you through that. You can give in person at the plexiglass box out at the kiosk. You can mail it in. Thank you for the notes that come with the mail. I like the ones that say, flip over. And then some little kid leaves me a note, or some big kid leaves me a note. I do enjoy those. And then we also have, of course, it's 2023, and you can give right on your phone through the Church Center app. If you have any questions, see one of the pastors, and we would love to help you with that. Tonight, 6 p.m., what's happening? Oh, it's on the screen. Well, that was easy. Everyone gets to go hang out at Marvin's house. If you're a guy, ladies, I don't know, find something. You can come to my house. But come tonight, 6 p.m., bring a chair and meet. I understand that sides will be provided. And there'll be a service and a time of worshiping together as men, and then a time of hanging out as men. What do you hang out and do? Do we get to know? One time I heard you threw axes, and there's somebody here who's really good at that game. It's a game. You're throwing it at a target, right? It's a game. It's a yard game. It's a manly yard game. Tonight, 6 p.m., come hang out with the guys. And then if you want to stand this morning, we're going to go back into worship. It's always great to come together and praise God.
worship you, Lord God. We praise you, Jesus. You know, something about the part of this song says, if our God is for us, then who can be against us? If our God is with us, then what can stand against us? Are you facing sickness? Are you facing discouragement? Are you facing a broken marriage? Are you facing financial difficulties? Let me encourage you this morning. If our God is for us, then who or what can stand against us? It might not look that great. You might not feel that great. But if you have God on your side, if you have your hand in the hand of the Master, then there is nothing that can stand against you. So as we sing this next part, make that your proclamation right now. Let's sing it together.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
What can stand against us, Lord? Nothing can stand against us.
Then what could stand against?
Nothing can stand against us. Oh, Jesus, you are strong and mighty, Lord. You are great and glorious, Jesus. Oh, just call out to him. How long has it been since you've worshipped the Savior? God, you are precious to me, Lord. God, I glorify you. There is none that is higher than you, God. You are magnificent and glorious and wonderful and merciful and mighty and powerful, Lord Jesus, and we worship you right now. God, and as we sing this next part, God, we sing it from a heart of praise, God. We sing it from a heart of worship, God, to our great and mighty God. Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see.
With one voice this morning. Let's do that again. others may not be faithful, but He is faithful. Can we sing that just one last time?
Acts chapter 2. I think most of you know where that is in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues, cloven tongues, as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone say, rushing mighty wind. Say, all with one accord. Say, all in one place. Say, filled the whole house. Sat upon each of them. They were all filled. Amen. One more time. Rushing mighty wind. Praise God. Let's pray. In Jesus' name, Lord God, fill this house. Let your Spirit fall upon all of us, each of us here. Let us be in one accord, O God. Pour out your Spirit like a mighty rushing wind, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I know it's not Pentecost Sunday yet, but this is a Pentecostal church, so every Sunday's Pentecost Sunday at Calvary Gospel Church. Amen? And please remember that Pentecost Sunday falls on Memorial Day weekend, so you're going to have to make an extra effort to make sure you invite someone on that weekend to come to our Pentecostal service. Everyone said amen. Praise God, rushing mighty wind. Most of us are familiar with this passage. But this is how it was taught to me when I came to Pastor Grant at Sister Grant's house. Sister Grant, that was the day that I dropped your barbecue chicken in my lap. I had a bunch of questions about whether or not this was really necessary, this speaking in tongues, and if everyone needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Grant went right to this passage, and he said, I want you to see something here. It says they were all with one accord in one place. And I said, okay. And then he said, it filled all the house where they were sitting. All right. And then he said, it sat upon each of them. And he said, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, there's a reason the Holy Spirit used all of these inclusive terms, because he wanted us to understand that the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And that they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't just a few. Wasn't just the 12. Wasn't even just the closest ones. It was at least 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. Praise God. But this didn't just happen out of the blue. Look at Luke 24:49. Jesus was giving them instructions. That's a great chapter to read, especially that last half. If you look at that closely, you'll see that God has had a plan. It says, behold, Jesus said to them, after talking to them about how he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament word of God, he said, it's all there because of me. Then he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. We're going to do something tremendous, something powerful, and it's coming your way. But wait. Just wait, he said. Luke, of course, wrote this, and he also wrote the book of Acts. He elucidates, he spreads, he tells a little more about this event. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said, you shall receive power. Everyone said power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's what they were doing on the day of Pentecost. They were obeying the word of God. They were all together in one place waiting for the promise of the Father, just like Jesus told them to, when they suddenly, everyone said suddenly, suddenly they heard a rushing mighty wind. And they were all filled with the power from on high that was promised from God. They were doing what Jesus told them to do. Something happens when we do what Jesus tells us to do. Something happens when we wait on God. Something happens when we're all together. Something happens when we're all in one accord. Something happens when there's a spirit of unity. Something happens when we're together in obedience to the word of God, waiting on God. Something happens when we obey God and wait on his promises with a submitted heart and a spirit of unity, and we are all in one place. Something happens. Suddenly, 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 suddenly. But it was happening suddenly because they did what they were told to do. When they were where God wanted them to be, doing what God wanted them to do, just like we're doing today. Suddenly there came from heaven a rushing mighty wind, a rushing mighty wind, so loud, so powerful that other people noticed it. Thousands gathered around. Something happens. Something happened then. Something that had never happened before. Something that would change their lives forever. Something happened. Something that would change Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Something's happening right here today. When we obey God, when we wait on God, when we're together in one accord, something happens, something can happen today. To one individual, maybe. Do you need power in your life? Or maybe two. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's never happened to you before. Will it never happen before the day of Pentecost? And thousands received it. You can receive it today. Maybe there's more than two. Maybe there's a lot. Maybe there's something you need to be set free from. Today, something can happen. Do you need healing? We heard about God working in Sister Carpenter's life. Do you need deliverance from addiction? God can do this. Something can happen today. It can happen here, right now, in a moment. Or at the end of the message, or before you leave today, something can happen. The mighty rushing wind is still flowing, still blowing, still enduing with power from on high. This morning we talked about Samson, and there's where I got the inspiration. The thought for this was that Samson felt the rushing of God's Spirit come upon him. But it was only for a moment, and he went about his business, and a lot of his business wasn't good business. But on this day, on the day of Pentecost, and here today, when something happens, it doesn't have to go away. It can stay. Hallelujah. That was one of my questions when I first came to God. How can I live like that? How can I make those changes? How can I get away from the things that I've been doing? I don't know how to do it. Because something happened to me. I was able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to leave that world behind. Hallelujah. We talked about how the rush of the Spirit came upon Samson and he did fantastic physical feats. Remember how we used to say, now this is only for part of the audience, how we used to say, what a rush. That's what we're talking about, only it's a better rush. An eternal rush. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came rushing upon Saul when he began to prophesy with the prophets. Never done it before. But now suddenly this Saul, who was out chasing a donkey, now he's prophesying with the prophets. And again, when he won a great victory with the Amorites, not a soldier, not a general, but because the Spirit of the Lord rushed on him. What is it God's calling you to do? What is it you're waiting on? Let the Holy Ghost come upon you and rush you into his will. When David was anointed king by Samuel, he felt the rush of God's Spirit. And again, when he brought the tabernacle back into Jerusalem, and he danced like nobody was watching. You thought that was a new thing, didn't you? The rush of the Spirit was so great when Solomon built the temple and offered sacrifice to God that the priests were driven from the temple. They could not stand in the powerful and mighty presence of God. And now, on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, 47 days after he rose from the dead, 7 days after they were told to wait for the power, something's happening. A rushing mighty wind. When the day of Pentecost was come, they were all of them in one place, every one of them, each one of them, each and every one of them, which is redundant, by the way. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and power. This word power here that's used in Acts 1:8, when Jesus predicted what was going to happen, is the word dunamis. Now, we talk about that word, and we usually equate it with the word dynamite because that's where that word comes from. But it's not really about the explosion, which is what happened. But because it was on the day of Pentecost and they had this explosion, we equate power with that explosive thing. And too often in Pentecost, it's all about that explosive experience. Now I'm telling you, the first time that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it ought to be special. There is an explosion that takes place. Something gets blown up inside of you and you become a brand new person. But it's not like the Old Testament where the Spirit goes away and you have to go find another explosion. Because the power stays in us. It stays with us. The power that the Bible is talking about with dunamis, is it's translated that word 71 times as power, 14 times as mighty, 8 times as miracles, 7 times strength, 6 times powers, 4 times might, 3 times virtue. And one time, ability, abundance, deeds, meaning, mightily, miracle, violence, wonderful, work, and workers. God gives us the Holy Spirit not just so we can have these explosive moments, but so that we can have the power to live the life that he's called us to live. Praise God. Doesn't always denote an explosion, it's power to accomplish God's will. Power to be witnesses, Jesus said. Power to overcome temptation, to overcome sin, to overcome addiction. Power to do the right thing when it's hard to do it. power to live for God in an ungodly world. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. If you've never experienced the rush of God's Spirit, you can receive it today. You need to have it. God's Holy Spirit wants to fill you up and fill you with His power. Praise God. A couple of images came to mind. First of all, how many of you are doing a garden? How many of you are putting, we do potted plants, because I don't want to, you know, dig up the ground. I just go buy flowers and hang them up in front of my house. Or I buy them and I plant them in this great, in these planters. And at the end of the season, they're done and we do it again next year. And I like that. I never thought I would, it never occurred to me that it would be something I would enjoy. But Terry and I, we go and we spend a day and we pick out all the flowers we want. It's a great time. We really enjoy it. And then we come back and I help her plant some. And I hooked up the hose for her. And she waters them every day. The flow is always there. It's connected. The hose is connected to the pipe in the house, and the water flows through it. And every day she waters the plants. I want to be connected to the Holy Ghost. Paul said, one plants, another reaps, but God gives the increase. Praise God. I need some Holy Ghost watering. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Praise God. But then down the street on the corner, usually, I'm not even sure where it is in our neighborhood. Oh, I know where it is. It's on the walkthrough. There's this big red metal looking thing. And it's got caps that you can twist off, and you can hook a great big hose up to it. It's called a fire hydrant. Now, if you need a lot of water, you need to hook up to the fire hydrant. And the fire hose puts out a whole... I wouldn't want to be spraying our plants in the front of the house with that fire hose. And usually, if you really need the fire hose, it's because your house is on fire. Which is a good allegory spiritually, because if your house is burning down, you better get one of those explosive experiences and have the Holy Ghost poured out all over you. But you shouldn't have to get to that point. If you take care of your house and you keep the water flowing, hopefully there's no fires. I want to be connected. Praise God. When I want a drink of water, I go get a drink of water. I don't have to go down to the fire hydrant and stick my head in there, try and drink from the fire hose. Amen? I want to be connected to God. When I need the flow, when I need the water, when I need refreshing, I need to be able to go to God and be close enough to Him and be in contact with Him so that I can receive what I need on a daily basis. That's the kind of power God wants us to have. That's what He wants you to have. That's what He wants me to have. Oh, praise God. We need to be connected to the body and to the Lord. When I was a kid, I grew up in Menasha, Wisconsin, and We there were several neighborhoods that we kind of interacted. And about two neighborhoods over was where the Menasha Water Tower was. And that's where the city got its pressure for the water system in the town. But around that water tower, there was this sizable lot that had nothing on it. It was on a corner lot, and sometimes I would go over, I knew some guys from that neighborhood, and we'd go over and we would play football on that city lot, right in the shadow of the giant water tower. I could name the kids that were there, some of them, and I really enjoyed going over there from time to time. And the really cool thing was a big water tower, lots of green grass, right on the corner, there was a pump with a handle on it, and you could pump it, and you were getting water fresh from the water tower. You would want to run it a little bit to kind of clean out the pipes, but when you got the fresh water, it was fresh and cold and clear. And if you were doing playing baseball, playing football, whatever you were doing there, it was always time to take a break and go over to the water pump, and everyone would get some water, stick your face right under there and drink out of the pump. Fresh and cold. Some people like that water so much coming out of the pump, they got all their drinking water there. They would go down, they would bring jugs down there and fill up jugs, and that was their drinking water, and they would just go there repeatedly. Or if you had trouble, like your water was turned off in your neighborhood, or maybe there was something wrong with your plumbing at the house, you could go over to that pump and get fresh water to get your family through that time of trouble. Sometimes we need a fire hose experience, you know? Sometimes we need that. And we need to stay connected, but every now and then we get into a place where we have to go right to the source. Get some fresh, clear water. But some people, that's all they want. They just want that water tower experience. They just want to be able to pump some Jesus out whenever they need it. I don't need to be connected. I can go to the pump and pump me out some Holy Ghost. I can pump me out some Jesus. I can pump me out some religion. Maybe on a weekly basis, I'll go down there and hit the God pump for a little while and go home and go about my business. Maybe I don't need that water. I got all kinds of other stuff I can drink until I really get in trouble. Then I'll go, when things go bad, when even though I haven't talked to God for months or years or ever, I can go to the Jesus pump. I can go to the water tower and pump me some God. That's how some people want to do it. But that's not how God wants us to do it. That's not His will. He wants to be connected. He wants us to have power every day, every day. Some folks think God should be available whenever they want Him. Brother Dave Hopped and I talked after the lesson this morning. I had never caught that passage in Judges where God said, okay, I've worked with Israel. I've done everything I can. You're not listening. You go worship other gods. When you pray, go pray to your false gods because I'm not listening anymore. Now, of course, that didn't last forever. But God reached a point where He got fed up and He just held His hand out and said, talk to the hand. I don't ever want to get to that place. If you're at that place today, there's a way out. You can come to the pump. You need to get to the fire hose. You need a dose. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the power of God. You know, it's nice. It's better to be connected. You know, I like to shower every day. I hope you do too. I like to have clean dishes. I like to have my clothes washed. And I do that sometimes too. We like to water our plants. When you're connected, life is so much better. Hallelujah. God said, I know the plans I have for you, the plans for good and not for evil. God wants to do good things for us. you know, if you want to connect to the hydrant, you can't do that all the time. You just can't live with water from the fire hydrant. You have to get connected. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, it's an experience that, just like the day of Pentecost, it will change your life forever. It will change the world around you. You'll see things differently. You'll understand God's word better than you ever did before. You'll understand why people do the things they do and why you did the things you used to do. But you'll also understand how to do the things the right way according to the word of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. You don't have to find the water tower. You don't have to pump it by hand. That's what a lot of people, they think that they're going to do it on their own. I'm going to do it by myself. I'll figure. I've heard too many times in my life, it makes me want to cry. People say, well, I know my Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, but your Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. That's the problem. There's only one Jesus. One God. That word one shows up a lot in the Bible when in regards to God. I mean, like, always. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, in all, and through you all. One God. Praise God. So you're not going to be able to pump up your salvation. You're not going to get right with God by pumping it yourself. You need to get connected. Sometimes there's a problem, but there's an answer for that. God's got the fire hose when we need it. When the connection isn't working like it's supposed to. Maybe you made some bad choices. Maybe you fell away. Maybe you're feeling guilty about some things you've done, but I'm here to tell you that can be fixed. The Holy Ghost can take care of that if you will just, the Bible says we turn, we repent, we change directions. God, I know I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm going to change direction with your help. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm sorry, God. That's repentance. That's getting connected. Maybe the water gets shut off for some reason or another, something you're doing or something you did. Something broke down in your life. And when the village says we're shutting down the water for 2 days or a day to fix something, I can't wait till that water gets turned back on. I'm just, is it on yet? Is it on yet? Is it on yet? Maybe you're here this morning. It's still morning. We got like 10 minutes. Maybe you're here this morning. And you need to get reconnected. How do we do? We repent. Of course, to first get connected, Peter told us to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There's that water image again. Get baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Whew, everything washed away. All your past under the blood. And you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Praise God. Somebody here needs to have that today. But let's say that you've been walking with God and you've been disconnected somehow. Your plumbing broke. Something happened. Well, I there's a bunch of plumbers in this church, so I'm really worried about this. But I got it from the internet, so I know I'm right. Refilling the plumbing with water. Simply follow this procedure to activate and refill your plumbing system. 1, start with closing the faucet on the lowest floor of your home. Next, close all the upper faucets. Doing so will allow air to be retained within the pipes. The air will recharge the system's air chambers. The first thing we need to do to get reconnected is maybe close some things off in our life. Maybe there are some things that we need to cut off in order to recharge the system a little bit. That's what we're talking about in repentance. It's so easy for a child of God to just incrementally allow things back into the system that we got rid of a long time ago. Number three, now you can turn on your home's main water supply at the valve. Praise God, I can go back to church. This will allow water to flow back into the pipes. Then turn on all the faucets. Don't hold anything back, because if you want to get right with God, you got to give him everything and let it flow out of every part of your life. Hallelujah. Start with the faucet on the highest flow and work downwards. As you turn on each faucet, let air and water sputter out. Discolored water may come out. Get rid of the rest of that junk in your system. And don't worry how it looks. Then proceed to open the tub and the shower faucets, flush the toilets, and allow the tanks to refill. And pretty soon, the Holy Ghost will be flowing again in your life if you will just do what the Word of God tells you to do. Once the running water clears, you can turn off each and every faucet. Start turning off the faucet. Start letting God get control of every area of your life, and he will let the Spirit flow. Hallelujah. Let's stand. The rushing mighty wind. I'm grateful for the rushing mighty wind. I'm grateful for the day that I was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. I only spoke about 5 words, and I was so shocked at how easy it was. I stopped talking. And I looked at the guy that was praying with me, and I said, "Is that it?" And he said, "That's it, that's it, that's it." You know, it sounds weird, and people outside of this movement, they talk about it in such ridiculous terms. But it's in the Bible. Again and again and again, it's in the Bible. And it's the evidence that the water's been turned on, that the rushing mighty wind has come to you, and now you're connected. Praise God. And if you don't feel the flow of God's Spirit in your life, then this is your opportunity to reconnect. There's no condemnation, the Bible says, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how long it's been, it doesn't matter why you did what you did. All you have to do is renew your experience with God, and there's no condemnation. Praise God. The rushing mighty wind is still blowing. It's still flowing. The Spirit of God is still connecting. There's an old saying that says, you need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. That means get into a place where you can feel God's presence. Whether you've never felt it before or whether you haven't felt it in a long time, the Holy Ghost is here this morning. God wants to do something in every one of our lives, but we have to connect. We have to open the faucet. We have to let him have his way. Praise God. Praise God. If you just want to renew, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I want to invite you to come. It's not a scary thing. It's a great thing. It's a life-changing thing. If you thought you could never live for God, I'm telling you, you can. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's how we live for God. You can have that. I want to invite you to come and pray right down here in front, what we do is we just come and we reach out to God, and other people come and help us do that. If you don't want anyone to do that, just then keep to yourself and come up here and just reach out to God, because He wants to fill you. Please come. If you need to be set free, if you need to renew, if you need to refresh, then come on right down here and pray in the front. And I believe God has miracles here today. We've heard testimony of healing. I believe God has a miracle here. If you need a miracle, if you need healing, please come down. God wants to do such great things in our lives. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not, He hasn't turned His back on us. He hasn't shut us down like He was forced to do with Israel. No, He's still here. He's still doing great things. He wants to do greater things. He wants to do more. Come and let him connect. Connect with the Holy Spirit. Be renewed, be revealed, be refreshed, be filled for the first time. God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able. Some are still praying. We don't want to prevent you from doing that. I just want to say thank you to everyone who's here. Remember this evening, the men's fellowship at Brother Marvin's house, 6 o'clock. Please continue to pray for those that are working at camp. Pastor and Sister Lois are there. Pray for them. Pray for one another. God is good all the time. Keep in mind that we have a service on Wednesday evening, and we'll be here again 10 o'clock next Sunday morning. God bless you in Jesus' name.